Good evening, everyone. Well, tonight I'm doing what I said I'd never do. Ha ha ha. And I'm preaching. And now I can't turn my clicker on, so this is a great start.
Those nails.
It's because I've got these graduation nails on and they're just the most bright. I'm so sorry. Can someone just flick this on? Good start, Emma. It's the one on the side. Just needs to... That, thank you. Okay. I did try and ask if I could preach from behind the keyboard tonight. They weren't having it. So, I'm behind a lectern instead. I am hoping that tonight comes across in English and makes some sort of sense. If only the part that I've borrowed from George Ryan. So, he does know I have asked permission. So as we said, I get the privilege tonight to kick start the series. We have called this series Called and Encouraged. Now this was a topic, as Louise said, that was placed on my heart. This idea of encouraging one another and really seeing the importance of it. We felt as a team this was a good series to build from the last series as well, as we've just done a series based around the body of Christ. We've looked at what it means to serve, what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, but we've also looked at some spiritual giftings, one of them being the gift of encouragement, hence why I might be borrowing a bit of George's sermon. I personally really see the importance of encouragement. It's all well and good as trying to teach people to serve and help people find their spiritual giftings and their spiritual callings. But part of those giftings and callings being carried out is based on our encouragement as a church. Because as George says, encouragement is the soil in which everything grows from. It is, I believe, our biggest key. It can be powerful. It can redirect someone's life. It did mine. But I'll get into that a little bit later. So through this series, we're going to look at what it means to be an encourager, but also how to accept encouragement ourselves. We'll also look at examples from the Bible of pairings of friendships who encourage one another, helping each other to identify their natural strengths and gifts, and ultimately using them for God's glory. So I thought to make myself look like some sort of cool preacher, I'd start by looking at the definition of encouragement, since that seems to be what everyone does, you know, when there's a word to look into. So here is the definition of encouragement. The dictionary says, the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. The persuasion to do or continue to do something. The act of trying to stimulate the development of an activity, state, or belief. Now, I actually remember saying to my dad as I was sat on the couch, as you do, researching the definition of encouragement, saying to my dad, this sounds rather biblical, this does. Sounds like this could actually be written in the Bible. You know, this idea of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. I then awkwardly realized it is. So if we go to 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says this. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Now, normally I read the NIV version of the Bible, but I was interested to see what some other versions, or how some other versions put it. So the Good News translation put it like this. And so encourage one another and help one another, just as you are now doing. But my favorite version had to be the Message. Now, got to put it out there, I'm not normally a Message version fan. However, I love this. So the Message version puts it, so speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. No one left out, no one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. I love that. I feel like that just encapsulates everything from the last series as well. This idea of doing things together and the importance of speaking encouraging words to one another. I also love the flip of this, though. As much as this tells us to go and encourage, it's also encouraging us in the process by saying, just as you are doing. Keep on doing it. It is suggesting that we're already encouraging one another, and therefore encourages us to go and continue to do so. Now, as I said at the beginning, each week we're going to be looking at a friendship, a pairing from the Bible of people who encourage one another. So tonight we're going to be looking at Elijah and Elisha. And I'm really sorry if I'm going to try not to get the two mixed up, but hey, we'll see. Now, Elijah was a prophet in Israel. Elijah was seen as one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest. This was a faithful man of God whose hand did a total of 7 miracles in his life. Things like he prayed and he caused the heavens to close so it wouldn't rain until he said so. He resurrected a widow's son. He called down fire from heaven to consume a sacrifice to prove that God is the one true God. He outran horses and chariots on foot. I mean, you get the impression he was a pretty cool guy. Well, through obviously God's grace. This was a man with a huge reputation, a reputation of being faithful to God and wanting to proclaim God's truth to the people who had lost their way. Now, to skip forward a little bit, Elijah, after all these amazing miracles had been performed, finds himself in a little bit of a state. And we pick up here in 1 Kings 19, 3-4. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Now, to skip forward a little bit, an angel comes down and tells Elijah to get up and eat and drink. So he does. He eats some baked bread that had been on some hot coals. He drinks from a jar of water, and then he goes back to sleep. He's then told by the Lord to make his way to Horeb, the mountain of God. I'm really sorry as well if I stuff up any of these words. There's some really nasty ones. I did do a bit of Googling on YouVersion. I don't know if any of you know the Bible app, to try and listen to how the person speaking would say some of these words. But yes, anyway. So if we now pick up at verse 11, still in Kings 1:19, it says this. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as a prophet." So then skip to verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate it. And then he set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. Now, I know there's a lot there, but I think the beginning bit is very, brings the context of this next bit. So, God told Elijah to go and find Elisha because he would be a prophet after Elijah. Elijah finds Elisha plowing in a field, and he simply walks up to him and puts a cloak around him. Now, if you think about someone who carries that kind of authority that Elijah does, whose reputation, of course, precedes them, it'd be quite a scary thing, someone coming up to you and putting a cloak around you. Dare I say, also a little random. But because it's quite clearly a sign as well of Elijah saying, hey, come, walk with me. And Elisha, being aware of who Elijah is, knowing he is a trusted follower of God, would see this as quite a clear calling on his life, but also an encouragement. Elijah's own cloak being put around Elisha gives a sense of security, sense of safety. It's a sign of love, of trust, but also responsibility. This idea of passing the baton on. If Elijah is going to go up to Elisha, and Elisha knowing that Elijah is a prophet, he would have known that this is a calling from God. God uses Elijah to encourage, but ultimately the calling is from God. God uses people to encourage, and that can ultimately lead to calling. Now, encouragement can also affirm in someone what they already are doing, and most of the time also help them to do it with more confidence. But it can also help people to see opportunities they may never have recognized. One day Elisha was just plowing in a field, and then the next day he was being taught by one of God's most trusted people. I think it's so incredibly important to encourage each other. And God can often prompt us to do that. I'm going to share a video with you now with this guy called Brandon Lake. Now, he is a worship leader, surprise, surprise, who has worked with all your big Christian groups, Bethel, Elevation. He's worked with Phil Wickham, who's another worship leader. And he sits down in conversation with another worship leader called Brooke. I know I was going to faff this up. The Girdwood? Her surname, anyway. Her name is Brooke. And in this video, Brandon talks about the power of encouragement. So rather than paraphrase what is a short video, I thought I would just share it with you, if this works. I love that. See it, say it. If you see something in someone that is Christ-like, biblical, and righteous, then go and encourage them with it. Like Brandon says, you never want to underestimate what that can do for someone's life. God could be the one putting it on your heart. So go and encourage. I will stand firm in the fact that encouragement can be a huge part of calling as well and can change someone's life, because it did mine. So to go back about 5 years ago at Soul Survivor, Soul Survivor being a huge, well, was, being, it's ended now, but anyway, not to go into that. So Soul Survivor being a massive festival where you go and there's a lot of teaching, worship, prayer, seminars, dream. I was at Soul Survivor about 5 years ago, and Dan and Kath walk up to me and ask me to go for a chat. Me being the massive overthinker, thought, oh no, what have I done wrong? All these list of things going through my head, thinking, oh no, what am I about to be told I've done wrong? What, yeah, anyway, you get the gist, I was panicking. So we went and found a place to sit down. Dan starts the conversation by saying, hey, Em, I think God is calling you to step into leading worship. Now, 15-year-old Emma laughed, looked a little shocked, and really didn't know how to take it, to be honest. Now, at the time, I'd been playing in the band, you know, plodding along, winging it, singing a little. No way was I going to stand up and lead worship. That was something that I saw on a stage at Soul Survivor, seeing the lovely Tom Smith leading worship, thinking, oh, it's wonderful, he's brilliant. That will never be me. And here was Dan Satch telling me, you should go and lead worship. And Kath sitting there agreeing. And I thought, oh no, these are two people that I trust, two people that, you know, have this authority. They're, you know, staff in the church, so they must have an idea of what they're talking about. Yeah, anyway, I sat, looked a little panicked. We had a conversation about it. They asked me some questions. I asked them a lot of questions. And that was the conversation. Spoke to Becca about it afterwards and carried on with the week. Got back in the September, and Dan goes, are you going to do anything about the fact that, you know, I've prompted you here? And Kath's going, yeah, you know, you should lead worship. And so one Sunday, I did just that. Dan was leading worship, and I'd agreed to lead the song Oceans. Oceans being my favorite worship song, knew it off by heart, so it was a pretty safe bet. I thought, you know what, if this goes horribly wrong, at least I know the song. That was when I felt the calling. I stood in that moment, played the first chord, and as I started to sing the song, don't know what the rest of the church were doing. In fact, I can't even remember seeing the congregation. I just remember the Holy Spirit coming upon me and making it very clear that I was in the right place. I've never felt safer. It was a bizarre experience. In fact, I get goosebumps now just thinking about it. I was someone who didn't see this calling on my life, hadn't seen this equipping, did not think I had, was not gifted enough to lead worship. But by the power of encouragement, I ended up being stood exactly where God wanted me to be. And that was when the calling came. Mike Pilavachi has always said, and I know we've said this a million times, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And in that moment, I understood what that definition meant. I'm not perfect, you know, I have a lot to learn, just as everyone does in this church. You know, in whatever place we serve, there's always more we can learn. But I then understood that God was calling me into a place in this church and in church in general, and that was to lead worship. And I consider it one of the biggest privileges. And I also just want to take this moment to thank everyone who's encouraged me along the way, because I wouldn't be standing there as many Sundays as I do without everyone encouraging 15-year-old Emma, which to me still blows my mind, how you would let a 15-year-old stand up there. I think now I'm like, no, of course, let's get anyone we can up there. But at the time, yeah. Yes, there you go, baddie. I'm going to invite the band up at this moment, if that's okay. So Dan and Kath essentially put the cloak around me. They taught me, they mentored me, they loved and supported me. And that encouragement led to my calling. Or what I believe to be my calling, you may disagree. So to tie this all together, go be encouragers. You never know what that can do for someone's life, how it can change it, transform it, or even just affirm what they are doing. It is so important. To build up the body of Christ, we must encourage one another. But we also must learn to take the encouragement. Of course, pray about it and discern it, but take it. So let God use you. Think about who you might encourage, who you can put your cloak around and support. But also have a think about, is God prompting you to pass the baton on to anyone? Is there a calling on someone's life that through God's eyes you can see? And maybe you need to go and have a chat with them. But if you take nothing else away from tonight, just go. Be encouraged, but also be an encourager. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you bless people with the gift of encouragement, but that you also call us all to encourage one another for the building of your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to discern the people we need to go and encourage, and give us the boldness and courage to do it. Please, Lord, reveal your calling on people's lives in this church, but also your calling for this church, Lord. And may we as people not stand in the way of it. For your glory, I pray. Amen.